if anybody asks me where I'm going. That's right, where I'm going. The heartache it brings, the comfort of knowing I'll soon be gone. Oh, as God gives me grace, well, I'm gonna run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Come on, sing it now. Well, I'm going up yonder. That's right. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Well, I'm going up yonder to be with my Lord. I'm going up yonder. Well, I'm going up yonder. Sing that first verse again. Do you want to know where I'm going? Oh, where I'm going soon? Oh, if anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going to, come on, tell them now. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Are you going? Oh, I'm going up yonder. That's right. Going up yonder to be with my Lord. Oh, yes, I'm going up yonder. Going up yonder to be with my Lord. Sing the second verse now. Now I can take the pain, the heartache it brings, and the comfort of knowing I'll soon be gone. Glory. And as God gives me grace, oh, I'm gonna run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Sing it now, sing it. We're going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder. Oh, I'm going up yonder. My Lord, oh yes, I'm going up yonder, going up yonder, going up yonder to be with my Why don't you give them a hand of praise? Shake somebody's hand near you. Glory to God. Tell them God bless you. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give somebody a hand. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, Oh Magnify the Lord with me. Oh magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Oh magnify the Lord with me, for He is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, glory, glory to His name. Oh, glory. He lives and reigns forevermore. Oh, glory, glory to His name. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Jehovah Jireh is His name. For He provideth all my needs. You happy with that? Jireh is His name. Oh, He provideth all my needs. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Sing the first verse. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Give Him glory, people. For He is worthy to be praised. We praise You, Lord Jesus. Magnify the Lord with me. Rock of my salvation, Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, glory, glory to His name. Jehovah now. Jehovah Jireh is His name. For He provideth all my need. Jehovah Jireh is His name. For He provideth all my need. Glory. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. give Him some more praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. My, y'all sound so nice. Hallelujah. I know the Lord is pleased with that praise and worship. Amen. Hallelujah. We just want to continue to give Him glory. Amen. Oh my, it's so good to be here. The services have just been so powerful. I've just been so blessed. I've been taking notes like crazy. Like Brother Barry said, about run out of paper. Amen. I can't wait to take some more. Amen. Let's sing that song, I'm Gonna Put My Armor On. Brother Keith, you got a special right after that. We got a couple specials tonight. Brother Tim Calhoun and Brother Mark Aho has one. So when I call your names, brothers, just get on up here as quick as you can and be ready for when we turn it over to you, man. Let's sing that song. I'm gonna put my armor on. I'm gonna stand in battle and sing my Savior's song. Oh yes. It seems like I've been sitting on my circumstances so long. I'm gonna put my armor on. That's right, now sing it again. I'm gonna put my armor on. I'm gonna stand in battle, sing my Savior's song. Seems like I've been sitting on my circumstances so long. Oh, now I'm gonna put my armor on. Once again now. I'm gonna put my armor on. I'm gonna stand in battle, sing my Savior's song. Seems like I've been sitting on my circumstances so long. Oh yes, I'm gonna put my armor on. Amen. You gonna put that armor on tonight? Hallelujah. Brother Keith, go ahead with your special, brother. We got one in eighth. You can have your seats. Just got an announcement to make. The deacons made me aware there's a black Toyota car out here with a Tennessee license plate. It's parked in a way that's blocking things, and they want you to, if you have that vehicle, to move that, if you would, as quickly as possible. Amen. Black Toyota car. Amen. Brother Keith.
It's certainly been a blessing for me to be here in these meetings. I said last night, I was sitting back there on that pew, and it was just like the Lord ripped a piece of tape off of my eyes on some of the things that was just coming out. I'm looking forward to my theophany.
One day I'm going to take a step toward my theophany. One day I'm going to take a little step into my theophany. One day I know the final step, it is going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling me, and it's calling, come up a little higher into the perfect love. Oh, come up a little higher into the agape love. Oh, come on up a little higher, soaring through the heavenly. My theophany, I hear it calling me. Now don't you worry, little children, should death knock at your door. Don't you know that death is a doorway that leads to the heavenly shore? Over there, there's no heartache, there's no sorrow, no grief or no pain, just perfect love and joy. Toward my theophany, one day I'm gonna take my theophany. One day I know the final step. It is going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling me. And I like this. Over the next hill, I look. Oh, I see my victory. Around the next curve in the road, that old devil, he's got to flee. 'Cause God's army is marching, marching onward. We're gonna slay that old enemy. Around the next curve, I see Jesus coming for me. Oh, one day I'm bold to take a step toward my theophany. One day I'm gonna take a little step, yes, into my theophany. One day I know the final step. It is going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling me. My theophany, I hear it calling me.
Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I can't wait to shake hands with my theophany. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Tim, if you'd be making your way up here, brother, we're going to sing a song as you're coming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's sing that song when we all get to heaven. Amen.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. And the mansion, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the while we walk the pilgrim pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing. So let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen. Brother Mark.
Amen. God bless you, my brothers. Certainly have enjoyed the word of the Lord. This song's a little different. In my life, I've had a lot of hard trials and temptations at times. My family's went through some really hard things. You lose everything you've been building for years. God's changing and moving you to another place. You may not be sure about it. Maybe this will help some of you in some of the times you have to go through safely. got my back to the wall. Satan's coming on strong. He really wants me to fall. He sends trouble my way. And even sickness is part of his plan. By myself I can't win. So I'll just throw up my hands. Start praising the Lord. I won't give up cause I stand on His infallible Word. When God sees my hands raised, He comes down and inhabits my praise. Got a dynamite plan, Satan just can't stand when I throw up my hands. Oh, when I'm faced with a trial, I've got two ways I can go. I can still wear a smile, or let it bring me down low. Satan whispers, "You're through." I hear Jesus telling me to stand. What am I gonna do? I think I'll throw up my hands. So I'll just throw up my hands. Start praising the Lord. I won't give up cause I stand on His infallible Word. When God sees my hands raised, He comes down and inhabits my praise. Got a dynamite plan, Satan just can't stand when I throw up my hands. Oh, when you're faced with a trial, you've got two ways you can go. You can still wear a smile, or let it bring you down low. When Satan whispers, "You're through," hear Jesus telling you to stand. What are you gonna do? Oh, just throw up your hands. When we throw up our hands, start praising the Lord. We're not give up because we stand on His infallible Word. When God sees our hands raised, He comes down and inhabits our praise. Got a dynamite plan, Satan just can't stand when we throw up our hands. Yes, when we throw up our hands, start praising the Lord. We won't give up cause we stand on His infallible Word. When God sees our hands raised, comes down and inhabits our praise. Got a dynamite plan, Satan just can't stand when we throw up our hands. God sees our hands raised. He comes down and inhabits our praise. Got a dynamite plan, Satan just can't stand when we throw up our hands.
Appreciate that special, Brother Tim. I didn't mean to call you Brother Mark there. I was reading my notes here. If you think this is easy, you come up here and do this. It's a lot of expectation in this building. Amen. Y'all forgive me if I get your name wrong. That's Brother Tim. Amen. Next, we have Brother Mark Aho. Appreciate him. Want him to be making his way forward. While he's preparing, let's sing that song, "Our God Reigns."
our God reigns, and it was our sin and guilt that bruised and wounded Him. It was our sin that brought Him down. And sing it for a moment. Oh, our God reigns. Give Him glory, people. Yes, our God reigns. All your hearts now. Yes, our God reigns. And our God reigns. See, He had no stay. So glad of that. With the Most High, we worship the Lord Jesus, and our God reigns. Hallelujah! Yes, our God reigns. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Last verse. As a lamb that's led out to the slaughterhouse, dumb as a sheep, oh, before the shearer, and His life ran down upon. Are you born again tonight? Oh, and our God reigns. Sing it, brothers. Oh, our God reigns. Oh, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Verse 5. And out from the tomb. Oh, I love this verse. He came with grace and majesty. Glory! He is alive. Oh yes, He's alive. Praise You, Lord. God loved us so. See here His hands, His feet, His eyes. Oh yes, we know. Do you know He's alive? Oh, He is alive. Hallelujah. Oh, and our God reigns. Yes, our God reigns. Praise You, Jesus. Oh, our God reigns. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Are you happy with that? Oh, we give You glory, Jesus. You can have your seats for a moment. We have our brother give us a special. Amen.
That's okay. Good evening. I feel like I'm among friends here. Got quite a few more today than I had yesterday. God bless you. It's been great being here. I'm glad I'm among friends because I'm going to do a song I've never done before. And, one time in the hotel room last night. So it's pretty fresh, and I don't know the words too well. And I don't like doing songs that way, but I believe that it will fit. So we'll do our best. If it's a little bit rough, we're friends, right? One great big estate and two little boys with two different natures had two kinds of toys. One always in trouble and one accolades. They had two kinds of girlfriends, got two kinds of grades. The older said, "Father, how can you stand it? Why can't he be more like you and like me? Why can't he be more like you and like me?" The father just nodded and said, "Well, that's the heart of a father. Never gives up on a son. What down a long dusty roadway cause an old man to run? One day we'll have an adoption, placing for both of you sons. But it never will start till you both have my heart. The same heart as the father." The younger said, "Brother, need help from you. Can I borrow some money for just a day or two?" He said, "Where are your wages?" "Well, I gave them away to that beggar who sat at our gate yesterday." He said, "I should have known it. You've done it again. Wasted your means on a meaningless man. You live like that, you'll end up like him. So go on and borrow from your worthless friends." The father was standing just outside the door. Just then he walked in and slipped him some more. Because that's the heart of a father. Never gives up on a son. What down a long dusty roadway could cause an old man to run? Someday he will have an adoption, a placing for both of his sons. But it never will start till they both have his heart. The same heart as the father. When the day finally came, when he looked at his son, he knew something had changed. He said, "Father, I'm leaving, and I'm not coming back. You can rent out my room. I've already packed. Just give me my portion, 'cause I'll never be like my perfect brother. Waiting for me, so give me my portion. I never will be like my perfect brother. The world's waiting for me." I said, "Son, don't want you to go off like this, but your room's gonna stay just the way that it is, because that's the heart of a father. Never gives up on a son. What down a long dusty roadway could cause an old man to run? Someday he will have an adoption, placing for both of his sons. But it never will start till they both have his heart. The same heart as the father. Well, the house was stone quiet for many a day. The son kept on working while the father he prayed. When off in the distance a figure appeared, and the father ran out like a man half his years. The party that followed was something to see. There was music and dancing and full revelry. He said, "Where is my brother? 'Cause I owe him too." The father said, "Son, he wasn't expecting you." Lowered his head and he wiped back a tear. He said, "Guess not much has changed around here." And father, how can you stand it? Why can't he be more like you and like me? Why can't he be more like you? Father just nodded and said, "Well, that's the heart of a father. He never gives up on a son. I'm glad you have come to your senses. But still, my work isn't done. Someday we will have an adoption. Placing for both of you sons, but it never will start till you both have my heart. Same heart as your father. It never will start till you both have my heart. Same heart as."
Appreciate that beautiful special. Man, let's all stand. We're going to take up our evening offering. I'm going to ask Brother Anwar Javed to come forward at this time. Pray over the evening offering and also the special needs that you all know of. Our dear brother Larry Pruitt, we want you to please remember him in prayer. Lift him up, we ask you. And Brother Paul LaFontaine, we also want to especially remember him in prayer. Do we have any unspoken prayer requests by uplifting of hands? Amen. God knows your needs, my friend. Hold those on your heart before Him.
Amen. Let's bow our hearts. Our precious Heavenly Father, we are so privileged, Lord Jesus, this wonderful weekend that we are spending with you, Lord Jesus, knowing that you are the only one, only power that can enrich our souls and our life, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the precious time and all the wonderful voice that you spoke through and you saw our needs, Lord Jesus. You saw the broken hearts, Lord Jesus. And you spoke exactly what we need, Lord Jesus, today. In this last age, in this fallen age, Lord Jesus, you want to strengthen your people, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, ask your blessing upon each and everyone, Lord Jesus. The evening offering, Lord Jesus, that your people are going to offer in front of you. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Praying for Brother Larry Pruitt, Lord Jesus. Brother John LaFontaine, bringing those mighty men in front of you, Lord Jesus, with the faith and trust, knowing that you can heal them right now. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. We bind our faith together. and curse all the sickness and all the power of Satan to leave them right now in the name of Lord Jesus, that they may be healed, Lord Jesus. That's what you told us. That ask and you will be given. That's what you told us. Lord Jesus, whosoever have the needs in their hearts, Lord, right now, with all these wonderful men that we are standing here, bind our faith together, Lord. And plead, Lord Jesus, that right now you meet the needs, touch those souls and hearts and bodies, needs in the families, whatever your people have on their heart, Lord Jesus. Ask your blessing upon this whole meeting today. How wonderful it is to be among your people, Lord. Lord Jesus, bless our time together, time in the Word. We ask everything in your precious Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's sing that together. You are more than enough, so much more than enough. You are more than enough for me. Jehovah Jireh,
sounds so good. And if we can enjoy it this much, the Bible says that He delights in the praises of His people. Imagine how much more He enjoys it. Imagine how He must receive that worship in the heavenly realm. And I'd like to say this. I think if Brother Branham was here, I think he'd be excited about a group like this. A group of men of God who come together from everywhere to spend a weekend together just in fellowship. It's been 24 straight hours now and done nothing but service. And I think he'd be excited to see that people are still so passionate and excited about the message of the hour. He never had the opportunity to have meetings like this. I think it's a wonderful blessing to be able to have this chance together. The atmosphere is so rich and so wonderful. I'll tell you what, let's just sing one more little chorus this evening here, and we'll turn it over to Brother Ed. We're just honored to have him with us. He certainly needs no introduction, but he's always expressed an interest about the men's meeting, and we had talked before a little about having it out west, and so we're just honored to have him with us tonight. And like I told you today, he spent a lot of months praying about coming and being a part of this meeting. So we're just delighted. I want to encourage you to pull on the gift and just draw from the presence of the Lord the things that you have need of tonight. I told him that, you know, just his experiences one-on-one with Brother Branham over the years and having a lifetime to ponder that and apply that and you know, to use that in his own life and ministry. Those are valuable lessons that will become valuable to us as they're passed on generation to generation. And that's 2 Timothy 2:2. Faithful men would be taught of God and then teach other faithful men who would in turn teach faithful men. And that's what it's about. That's why we're here. So we're just honored tonight. And I want you just to pull on the gift. Matt, let's sing the song we've been singing here. Have your way, and we'll turn it to Brother Ed tonight. Have your way. Have your way. Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and have your way. As we pray, as we pray, speak your word into prayer. Have your way. Just say, Lord, have your way in my heart. Thank you, Jesus.
Want him to do tonight is to have his way. And I'm speaking through this. Is that okay? All right. I have a grandson that drove up from Atlanta. Where's Brother Wes? I should say, yeah, there you are. God bless you, Brother Wes. Thank you for driving up. Brother Gary, God bless you. You came up from South Carolina. Thank you. We've come from all over the country So I just say, God bless you. I want to thank our brother Barry Coffey and his church for making this invitation, extending it. This is the first time I've been away from our church since I had a special event. At least that's what they said in the medical world. And so I will give them credit for this special event. And anyway, as a result of that, I'm here. And thank you. We have several of our congregation here, and Brother Derek, Darren, Brother Mark Aho, who you just heard sing, and Brother Randy Snow flew down from New York and made all the arrangements for us and rented a car and drove us here. And GPS sent us on a tour. We saw all the back roads of North Carolina. And I said, this is not the way. I've been here. This is my second home. And I know there's a freeway towards Gastonia and then off to Hickory and down to Rutherfordton, where our brother Joe Green is, Joseph Green. And so I said, I know this place. I've driven it many times. Anyhow, here we are. We just want to say God bless you. And let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and honored to be here, and we thank you for it. We thank you for the invitation, not only the invitation, but the burden our brother Barry Coffey has presently and has had and has held throughout these years. And we ask you to bless him and his family, his wife, O God, and the people of this congregation and their endeavors for this message, O God. How we thank you for it. We pray that you will endue us with power from on high. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. God bless you. I would like to just take a subject, and I understand that perhaps some of the other speakers that have been speaking have kind of touched on it, and so I have not consulted with anyone else. And our brother Tim Dodd, who's in charge of missions at our church and for Bible believers, I haven't spoken to you, Brother Tim, have I? And and I would like to speak on the heavenly influence. And just talk to you about that for a few moments. I've not touched this subject before, so you'll bear with me as I'm going to read some things and tell a story or two. And a heavenly influence. Influence. It is an inflow. The Encyclopedia Britannica says it's an inflow into of power and of motive to make permanent and slow modifications. And I can tell you that since becoming a believer, I can tell you it is a slow and permanent process. And for a prophet to come and tell us about predestination, I can tell you, friends, we take a lot of things just for granted. But God sent a very expensive message our way. And I personally, this is now a personal belief, and I'm going to talk to you just personally. I personally believe that God himself, when he looks down upon us and he sees whether it's a man, a family, a church, or whoever is making it their number one priority of getting the message out, or making it more available in the languages of the people, or however it is. And this church, I understand, I asked Pastor Barry Coffey to show me the two message books that had just been done here on the church ages and the revelation of Jesus Christ, done in Portuguese. And I didn't know how that happened, but I'm looking at Brother Tim Dodd right now. We just had three brothers from Brazil in the last few days. In fact, as I left them in Brother Dodd's care, and they have been doing hundreds of thousands of books in Portuguese. For Angola is Portuguese. And I had a little picture sent to me. I have it on my iPhone. And they're distributing messages, about 600,000, to the individual messages. And so I called down to Brazil. I said, "Where are these from?" He says, "From here." I said, "But are they from Voice of God?" "No," he said, "they're from here, from Brazil. And Brazil speaks Portuguese. They speak a little different accent than Angola, and they speak a little different accent from Mozambique. But both of those countries down in Africa speak the Portuguese language. And so I don't know all about that, but we went down to Brazil to try to set up printing. And he said, "We have been doing that. My father has, his father's a pastor in Chapeco. And he said, "We have been doing the printing ever since. And we just took charge of it because there was too much, you know, infighting or different opinions about how and where to do it." And he said, "You know, while you decide that, I'll just go ahead and do it." And God blessed him. And so God will bless the work and bless the people, and I believe God will bless this men's meeting, because that's our desire. Amen. I just want to ask the Lord direction. Heavenly Father, we're asking that you will especially anoint this service this evening, and the men that shall receive and go from this place with some determination in their hearts and minds, I pray you will inspire them by the Holy Spirit. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. While you're standing, I'm going to just take a scripture. And I'll have you turn to John's Gospel. I'm sorry, it'll be 1 John. Just a moment, and I'll get it here for you. You have to forgive me, for my eyesight is not as good as it used to be. Brother Barry, I want to read the scripture says.
1 John?
Yeah, 1 John. And I write unto you, young man. I just read this scripture the other day. I believe it's 2:12. All right.
I read unto you, little children.
Yes, yes. Here it is here. It's second chapter, 1 John, second chapter, verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven. and you and forgiven you. For his name's sake, I write unto you, fathers, because you are known, you have known him, that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Maybe you didn't know that. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Amen. Isn't that nice? I think that covers everybody here. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm going to talk to you tonight on the largely out of two messages. One is the message of influence. It was spoken, Brother Branham spoke influence several times, but he spoke it really first as influence in 1963, January the 12th, I believe it was. And the reason I say I believe it was is because in the States we do it different than we do in Canada, and who knows, that politics. Even the nations don't agree. And then the second message is supernatural, just not the supernatural gospel, just supernatural, in 1956 in Owensboro, Kentucky. I think I understand that was one of his greatest meetings, and I'm going to pull a story out of that as we go on. So influence is the flowing into of power, whether in the form of motive or ability. Whether, Coffee has a certain vision for these meetings, and it may well be that I don't know the fullness of that vision, and perhaps you that have traveled here don't know the fullness of that vision, but he has a motive, and he is desiring to live in such a way so that he will influence men. And I ask that God will bless him for that. That is motive and ability. The process of producing modifications, that's what influence is. The process of producing modifications, especially when slow or permanent. As in, they use this, and Brother Branham uses it, as influence of example. Now, you do not say, well, show me an example so I can do it right away. You know, and we want instant things and instant results. Doesn't happen that way. This is a slow process. And fact is, it might take a lifetime. It may well take a lifetime. And now I want to talk right down where the rubber hits the road. You that may be fathers and you have children who are not in the way or not supporting the message as such and don't believe in the prophet and don't believe in they've been affected and so on and so forth. I want to say something to you. Your example and your steadfast approach to the things that you believe will have an effect on them. And even if they, in your last breath, if they receive Christ, it'll be worth it all. So you may be here and you do not have children that are following exactly what would please you. But hold steadfast. Don't waver a bit. I can tell you that for experience or from experience, that certainly will produce, because that is of God. The influence of example. In the message token which he preached in Shreveport, Louisiana, and these signs shall follow them that believe, not just professors, but identified believers. They may not follow, they may not follow, they probably will, perhaps they will. Jesus said, they shall follow. They shall follow them that believe. Just absolutely impossible. Do you believe that? Yeah. Absolutely impossible for it not to happen. Amen. It will happen. Whether you live to see it or you are around it or it's thousands of miles or across the ocean, you will see it. Because that is the Word of God. The works that I do, shall you do also. That's the identification. Jesus' identification was to manifest the Word of God. Now, I have a purpose and a reason for saying this. To manifest the Word of God, which he was, and the church's identification today. Now, this, I want you to especially hear this. The church's identification today is to manifest the promised word of this day by the same Spirit that manifested it, or manifested and quickened the word then. This same Spirit quickens the word to the believer today and manifests the same thing, showing that the token is on this person, which is the resurrected life of Jesus Christ living in his believer. Amen. You are believers. I don't have to elaborate or glamorize it. God has said it. And that's the highest authority there is. And he said, he is living in his believer. Oh, that ought to set a church afire. So what I wanted to say to you, and to say it very emphatically, the resurrected Son of Man today lives in the believer. And the reason why I want to talk about influence for a while is because each of you have come under some influence, and each of you, according to the messenger, influence someone else. And the message, the messenger spoke a message, I think just once, on the influence of one man. And that one man was Jesus Christ. And I read this quote because that man is living in these men. And you will go from this place. And whether you believe it or don't believe it, you are going to influence someone. And it will do you a lot better to believe it. Because God said it. Amen. And it will do more than set a church on fire. The influence of one man, now the influence of many men. Even if you just take that phrase. The influence of one man, which is Jesus Christ, is now living in And maybe you came here just to hear this, is living in many men. The same Christ, by the same Spirit, by the same power. It might be a slow process, but I can tell you it's permanent. The influence of one man, the Lord Jesus Christ, now the influence of men with the life of the Lord Jesus Christ living in them. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." You have heard his voice. "And I know them." Brother Aaron McGeary was speaking last night. He knows, he knew Abraham and what he will do in the future. He knows you and what you will do in the future. "And I know them, and they follow me." So the voice of the messenger, whether the enemies like it or don't like it, they, you know, just is such a, so bizarre. People are so expert on what Brother Branham said and what was fulfilled, and they can't even tell me why the grass is green. They haven't even figured that out. And they're going to tell me what a God who's eternal with no beginning and no end. Figure that one out. And then come back and say, "I want to tell you something." You know. Brother Randy, it still works. It still works. And I've had a little thing that I just, these are little key secrets, but I have said to people who have come against what, "Oh, well, the prophet says this and the prophet says that and it didn't happen and whatever more." And maybe it's not going to happen for in our lifetime. We don't know. How do we know? We just don't know. But I say to them, I'm going to give you where he has said, where I've sat on the platform. And I didn't know. I wasn't sure whether that angel of the Lord would still be there. And I questioned it and wondered it. And there were things about the message and doctrine that I didn't know. I didn't understand. But I just said, this was one thing, and I would recommend it to you. If that angel of the Lord is still with him, and what he speaks then will be truth. What he speaks then will happen. And whether I see it or I don't see it, that's irrelevant. But the angel of the Lord will not vindicate and support anything that isn't true. And so I sat on the platform where Brother Barry is, and maybe sat over here, and a woman came up, and guess what? She was a great friend of our family. She had her hands folded like this, and she just stood respectfully, and prophet of God said, "Now, you're nervous," and he often would say that, and he just talked to her for a few moments. He didn't know a thing about her being a very dear friend of my family. And he said, he finished with her, and then he said, "And there's something else you're praying for. You're praying for a man. He's a sinner man. He's not from this town. He's not from this city. He lives just north from here in a place I believe is called Fort St. John." And that's in northern British Columbia. It's 42 miles up the Alaska Highway. The prophet of God, I was taking him early the next morning. He didn't have a clue where we were going. We were taking a car, and I was driving him right up the Alaskan Highway, and we were going right past Fort St. John. When the U.S. Army, in case you don't know, the U.S. Army, USED, which was the U.S. Engineers Division, Marines, built the Alaskan Highway 1,523 miles from Dawson Creek, which is mile zero, where my wife was born, where I was married to her a little over 65 years ago. So don't tell me anything about Dawson Creek. I already know it. It's terribly muddy, and it's one of the places in the world you can be standing in mud. Your boots are fast stuck into the mud, and dust will blow in your eyes. That's Dawson Creek. If you don't get carried away by mosquitoes first, that's what the U.S. troops said. They were the largest mosquitoes on earth, and they would, you know, carry you away or whatever. They exaggerated a bit, but they are bad. They are bad, yeah. And so I'm taking Brother Brendan up the Alaska Highway, and he's actually driving. He's driving a station wagon car, a Ford. For all of you GM people. It was a Ford. And he's driving it, and as a boy, I had always wondered, because the U.S. Troops just put the bulldozer down, and away they went. And they had people guiding them, and I think they followed moose. Because the road went like this, like this, like this. But I found out why it went like that. It went like this, and we cut off miles and miles of highway. But they did it like that because they didn't want any enemy strafing the convoys. And so that's why. And the Japanese were already coming up the Aleutian Islands and had taken two of them. And I'm talking to most of you are U.S. residents, but you probably didn't know this, and now a Canadian is telling you. Two islands of the Aleutian chain were the first U.S. territory that was ever seized by an enemy and occupied. And they occupied Attu and Kiska, I believe, is the first one. Am I right? Okay. And the U.S. troops had to go in and take those. It's called the Battle of Attu, A-T-T-U. And I lived on that highway and had my picture taken by U.S. tanks. I was just a kid and ignorant of what was going on. I didn't know the Japanese were maybe coming up the Aleutian chain. And so they had to get heavy equipment to protect the United States, the South, the 48, lower 48, or 48, yes. It's 52, I think, now, isn't it? Is it 50? 50 states, 50. Okay. I was close. Was a couple states between friends. Anyhow, that's where we lived. And that's why I was taking Brother Branham up there. Because I had heard that he likes to hunt. And a friend of mine was in my house in Dawson Creek. And a man was there that one time whose pastor, Andrew R. A.W. Rasmussen, and that was the only time he was in that house. The only time. Are you listening? Does God know the beginning from the end? And he knew that I was going to be sitting on the platform. He's doing all this for us. He's doing all this for that I could stand here and tell you this testimony. Otherwise, then all I can tell you it's absolutely true. And I was sitting there wondering if this angel of the Lord is still here and knows the secret of the heart. And he's telling this best friend of my family, I won't say best friend, but one of our very dear friends. And her name is Sister Klunt. Her and her husband have no children, and they live in Fort St. John. And he said, this man you're praying for is a sinner man. And he has cancer. He's dying with cancer. And you just go and believe. And he didn't say that he was healed or anything. He just said, you go and believe. Then when the U.S. troops built the highway, here I was just a kid years before. And I wondered why this big white house was sitting there. And they bypassed it, you know, big old white farmhouse. And then the first access road turned into the town of Fort St. John. And now it's quite a nice little city. But they were wondering, I always wondered about that house. And who's in that house? And I don't know anything. And here the prophet is driving, and he comes to the speed zone and slows down. And he said, there was a woman that came up in the prayer line praying for a man, I believe from Fort St. John. I said, yes. And I wanted to let Brother Branham know it was a woman we know real well. And I was making wonderful headway because the angel of the Lord was still there. And that to me was so wonderful. And he doesn't say anything. We just drive slowly past. And while we're driving past, the place is going past me. And he swings his arm behind my head and says, the man's in that house. Well, I wanted to tell Brother Bud Southwick. Now, Brother Bud Southwick, how many of you have heard of, you've read about his name in the book? Let me see your hands. Oh, almost all of you. Now, I'm going to address you. Brother Bud Southwick knelt down with his five sons as just little tots on the concrete in the basement of my church. And I was pastoring up there in the early 50s. And he received Christ. And he happened to be in our house that same night that Mr. Rasmussen was in my home. And he said, he starts to tell me, he said, you know, the game warden up in Nelson or Fort St. John or someplace up the further north, he said he wants to give me the territory up about mile 442. And I said, oh, that's like I was telling him, that's not for you. Forget that. He's just getting established in his ranch. He's been ranching for about 10 years and has a log house and about 100 cattle and about 100 horses. And now this game warden wants him. He said some natives have had it and they want to see it dealt with better, more profitably, the game department of British Columbia. And I just wrote it off as a bad dream, you know. It was that A.W. Rasmussen who had ordained me in the ministry. And he says to me, he says, Brother Beskel, he said, why don't you write Brother Branham? He likes to hunt, you know. That's just exactly the way he said it. And I thought, right, Brother Branham? He probably gets 100,000 letters a month. But I sat down and with a pencil, I still remember writing with a pencil and a piece of paper, I wrote a letter to Brother Branham and invited him to come up and hunt. That's how William Branham goes to Brother Bud Southwick's. And that's why. And I took him up there because, you know, I was going to make the flapjacks for the, and Brother Branham talks about them. So when you run into it in the message, that's how it happened. And I wanted to tell Bud, now I'm trying to get somebody who doesn't know what Genesis is, he doesn't know what Revelation is, he doesn't know anything in between. He's a wilderness man. You think you've got wilderness country in here? You haven't got wilderness country like that. From where we were, is this okay?
Yeah.
From where we were, you could travel 2,000 miles north, and I doubt if you'd see a human. You could take and travel down the Rocky Mountain Trench probably 500 miles south, and I doubt if you'd see a human. That's wilderness. And it's cold in the winter, but it's very, very nice in the summer if you can stand sand flies and mosquitoes. And so he said, you should invite Brother Branham. I thought, well, it'd be awfully nice to find out if that angel of the Lord is still there when I saw that girl in 1949 healed, you know. And so I invite him and I write him this letter. And in 1961, that was how we got up there. We went there in 1961 and we were going past this place. And I want Brother Southwick, because he knows zero or below zero of the Bible. And I wanted him to have some idea what a prophet was. So I said, you know that big white house just as we turn into Fort St. John? He said, the man's in that house. Yeah, he says, I know him. I've known him ever since I was about 8 years old. He said, and I also know he's dying with cancer. And I was getting sought left and right. Okay. So that's how Brother Southwick's name is in the message books. And I can tell you, friends, as a witness, that's absolutely the truth. And that man died 2 months later. He was a sinner man. And he died, and he's written in some of the, written up in some of the early settlers' books. And we have read about him, and Sister Clint was praying for him. And he just told her to go and believe and didn't say anything more. But that's what he said. And so, has my life been influenced by that? I guess it has, seriously. And I seek to influence you by telling you these things are true.
Amen.
And if you don't want to believe it, you've got a big case on your hands. Because you've got a real problem. You've got, I believe, Almighty God selected a man, and I'm going to use him as a mouthpiece. And then those that hear him, and God knew that there would be an attendance of men here that are going to live and die believing this word.
Amen.
And that's why I believe it, because it has always, I could tell you from accounts from now till tomorrow morning, and it is everyone absolutely the truth. You're looking at me like that's not even an exaggeration. This is an atmosphere that I believe you would honor and receive this. I'm in the car, and Brother Branham is driving, and Blaine Southwick, Brother Southwick's eldest son, is sitting in the back seat, catching a ride south. And we've done our hunt. I've not gotten any meat. And we're just driving. Brother Branham has that little white, light-colored, I will say, cowboy hat on, and his dungarees, his jeans, and a jean jacket. And he said, put his head back, And he said, Brother Eddie, what do you think of this ministry? He didn't say my ministry. He said this ministry. I was very observant about those things. He said, what do you think about this ministry? Do you think it could be that? And then his voice started to trail off a little bit. And I had noticed that. I hope you don't get too weary with this, but I had noticed that in the tapes, as I had heard the tapes from time to time, and I had heard when he was under a heavy, I suppose it's a heavy anointing, but he's telling people the secrets of their hearts. And then I found out later, he said, I'm in two worlds right now. And it wasn't a picture on the wall. He was there. And he even tells about seeing people when they were young and how they were dressed and so on. He details everything. But I didn't know that at that time. And here I'm sitting there and he says, Brother Eddie, what do you think of this ministry? Could it be that of Elijah the prophet as it's foretold in the scripture and so on? And he began to speak about, just he said, and Hebrews and so on, and his voice trailed off. And I felt, actually I felt humiliated because I'm with such a great man. And I just looked down at the glove box and I said, well, Brother Branham, for all I know, it must be. Because it has every appearance of being. And he put his head back and kind of looked at me sideways. His eyes were very deep set. And he said, I often kind of wondered. I kind of think so myself. And at that moment, a being entered the car. These eyes didn't see it. But it just came like that. And I thought, if I exhale or if I breathe in, I'm going to go into some other place. Friends, that is true. And we just were turning a curve in the highway, and there was a big bull moose standing in the middle of the road. And I was startled, and I said, oh, Brother Branham, I said, there's a bull moose. He said, it's okay, Brother Eddie. He said, you just get your rifle. And my rifle was right in my hands. So get your rifle and your bullets. And he said, he either said he's yours or you'll get him or something like that. And there was no fuss, no terrible excitement or any like that. I said, stop, Brother Branham. I can get him because we were maybe a couple hundred yards away and he just kept driving at the same speed, going around a curve, long curve. And it was a slight incline, just a slight incline. And I thought, stop, Brother Branham. I'll get him. He said, it's fine, Brother Eddie. He said, just have your gun ready. And he just kept driving. I've hunted all my life. I have never shot a bull moose that close. And he drove right up to it. And I got out of the car. And I had a scope on my gun, but not a very good one. And I put the scope up, and all I saw was hair. And I couldn't even figure out where to shoot him, so I put the gun up to the sky and over the hump of his back and brought it down on his chest and pulled the trigger. And that's the only time in my life, the only time I actually saw influence. I actually saw the bullet enter, and the hair just went poof. And I thought, oh, I hope he doesn't fall down. You know, you can have 1,000 things race through your mind. I hope he doesn't fall down. If he falls down in the middle of the highway and a car comes over the ridge, and then we'll have a major accident on our hands. And I hope he doesn't just walk across the highway, because now he's just starting to move real slow. And he's going across the highway. And I thought, I hope he doesn't drop there, because somebody will come and steal him. And we haven't got room for the meat, you know. And I had lots of problems. and you need to go up. You need to see the Alaska Highway, Brother Ed. You've seen it. And the clearing on the road is probably 50, 60 feet, you know, on both sides of the highway. So I thought, I hope he doesn't fall down there. Somebody's going to take him. So I get out with my gun, and Blaine gets out with his gun by now, and we're seeing, and the moose just walks across this entire clearing of 50, 60 feet, and he's just going into the bush and the trees, and I fire a shot, and Blaine fires a shot, and he took another 2-3 steps, and he stepped over a log jam. Had crossed over like that, and the moose stepped right over, right where the windfalls were, and fell down, perfectly hidden. I couldn't have done it better myself. And he just fell there, and Brother Branham came and sat on a log, and on one of the windfalls, and Blaine and I dressed out the moose and gutted him out and cleaned it up. And we got back in. Brother Barry, you will remember this. We got back in the car, and I sat down. And it's a wonderful feeling here tonight, but that was this feeling on steroids. I thought, I just want to live here forever. Something, an atmosphere. It was so marvelous. I just thought, I want to live in this atmosphere forever. And Brother Branham slipped in, and he said, put his head back. Said, you know, Brother Eddie, every time he comes, something good happens. And I never forgot it. Every time he comes, something good happens. You can't stop it, and you wouldn't want to stop it. Every time he comes, something good happens. And I found that to be absolutely the truth. And if he comes near you tonight, be real humble. And you talk about humble. I hope this moves you and influences you, but the prophet of God, say, William Branham, yes. The prophet of God said, Brother Eddie, when you're praying, next time you're praying, and you sense him real close to you, tell him that Bill loves him very much. I was just humbled to death. Tell him Bill loves him very much. That is as simple as nailing a message on the tree. Yes. And so I can tell you, I'll pass that on to you. Next time you're praying and he comes very close to you, tell him Brother Bill Branham loves him very much. He asked me to do that. Can I continue on for a few moments, please? I want this to be something that you'll not forget. The prophet of God, he made reference to my sheep hear my voice. And he said this. He said, I was in the eastern countries. And the Bible became like a living book to him. He said, and I noticed how the sheep follow the example of the shepherd. And he went on to say about that. He went on to say how the sheep were affected by the example of the shepherd. And I thought that was very wonderful. Perhaps I'll say a little bit more about that in a moment. But he said, we influence. Somebody is watching your life. And your life that you live will reflect and influence on somebody. He said saltly, and he said also, and salt can only save as it contacts. And if it loses its power of contact, then it is no more salt. I just thought these things were worth leaving to you. And salt can only save as it contacts. And if it loses its power of contact, then it is no more salt. And when we lose our influence as a father, as a mother, as a Christian, as a businessman, as a minister, when we lose our influence with people, now he said we can be very popular in the line of the world and go along with the world. But I mean as when we represent Christ, when we lose our influence as that as standing out, how can we blend in with the day when God is so against it? We have a school, and one of the great struggles we are having right at this moment is the gender. And they want the school to have washrooms that's it doesn't mean whether it's boys or girls. Do you have that here? In the land of the free? No, not free for you. Not free for me. And it's called Soji. And they don't want... And they're pushing that. You talk about pushing it. They're pushing it to the limit. He said, regarding women and or God has got your pattern laid here. And he's pointing to his Bible. So he has the pattern for a father and a pattern for a minister and a pattern for the lady. And the pattern of it is laid right here. He said also, all of us has our places, and we must abide in our calling. We all possess certain gifts and unique abilities, these are my words, which God can anoint, as in King Uzziah's case. However, in King Uzziah, that is the chapter, Isaiah 6, where Brother Branham takes it as his text every time. And he says that Isaiah was greatly influenced by Uzziah. Because Uzziah was a king, and the Bible says that he came to the throne in his teens. And he came to the throne, and the Bible says he did that which was right in the eyes of God. And he pleased the Lord. And he was influencing another young man, Isaiah. And God wanted Isaiah's eyes to be upon him. not upon Isaiah, not upon Uzziah. And Uzziah, finally, he left the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, and he took the censer, and he went in, and he began to go and take another man's, a much lower than the king, but to take his office. And God has offices which he has set. And don't ask me why. That's God's business. He just has it. He ordains offices. And said, all of us has our places, and we must abide in our calling. We all possess certain gifts and unique abilities. I was listening to Brother Mark Aho as he played and sang, and I asked, I couldn't hear the words exactly, but Michael says that's one of the last songs he wrote. There's a gifted man. He can't only play, but he writes music, and you could ask Brother Mark to give us another verse to this song, and he'll just write it. I can't do that. Roses are red and violets are blue, and, you know, that's about the extent of my gift that way. But there are people that are gifted in a certain way to do a certain thing. Brother Jason DeMars, God bless you. We have, because of this brother, we have a book printed in the Muslim language, the Church Age book. Why don't you stand, Brother Jason? Because of this brother. I announced it to the church, and some of the brothers are here that saw that. We have the first book, message book, that can be read by a Muslim. And we have many of them in our area. Many of them. We've got temples and all the rest of it. And you have many within America. And, of course, within Turkey and those countries. But I believe they speak Islamic in one of the countries or provinces in Ethiopia, is that not? Or one of the countries there, yes. So we are need to abide in our calling, as in King Uzziah's case. However, when he got lifted up in pride, the prophet says, because of the blessings of God, he took the censer, which was not his office, much lower office, I suppose, but it was not his office or place, to his own destruction. God will anoint human gifts to his own glory. And when they are dedicated to his own glory and use, and I say to these men that are here, let us dedicate our gifts and our talents and all that you have, I can tell you, you will never, ever regret it. Praise the Lord. Never regret it. Give your gift to the Lord. Here's Michael. Michael's my grandson. Ever since he was a little fellow. He's little now, but I mean small. Michael, why don't you stand up? He's 37. He's married and got a lovely believer wife and some children in the school. But Michael always wanted to be a doctor. And he wanted to be a surgeon, especially in bones, wasn't it? In bones. He's here looking after me. Isn't that nice to have a doctor? But you know, his marks, and not because he's my grandson, but his marks, I'm a dropout. But he did very, very well in school, and he just knew that he'd be able to advance. So he advanced himself to where he took nursing, and he was up in Edmonton at the Royal Jubilee, I believe, or something. Is it, what's the name of the hospital there? Yes. That's where he took his, had to take his practice up there. And the person who was in charge said, Michael, you're not a nurse, you're a doctor. And he knew that, but he was working at the church and helping out. And whenever anybody is giving their life towards the things of God, I just, God bless them. And then he wrestled with it. You know, when you want to do God's will, it isn't always easy. Just ask me. Sometimes it's very difficult, very difficult. And the thing for you to do then, take my advice. Just grind along slowly. Say, God will figure out a way somehow, whatever it is. God's will be done. So he could enter the university in Eastern Canada, and he would have to leave the office. So it was a tearing time. I just know that without going into it. It was a tearing time. But the university that could accept him turned it down. And you know, it's wonderful the way God works it till he just answers it. And then God lays his hand on a person's life. And you just don't know. You're not in the banking anymore, are you, Brother DeMars? Because there's too much over there. And that's eternal, and this is temporal. The things that you see are temporal. Brother Wes, it's just temporal. And one day, I hope you don't have to lay where Grandpa laid, but I didn't know in a few moments I was going to come out of this place. I just had a little minor heart attack. I didn't think there was anything to this. I felt strong and great and wonderful and went to Switzerland and came back and went to Germany and came back and went to Moscow and came back and went to... what is on the eastern side here? Went down to South Carolina and came back and went someplace else. That almost killed me when I went down to South Carolina. And Brother Tim Dodd was there, and he said to the pastor, and pastors don't always do what you ask them to do. He said, he towered over him because he's a tall man. And he said, don't you even think that Brother Biskell is going to take the evening service. And they announced it in the morning service. Brother Biskell will be speaking the last service tonight. Well, it was almost my last service. And I hardly recovered out of that. And I found myself in the hospital. And the hospital, the guy says... And he was the leading heart man. And he said, you are 82, which I was then. And I thought, I shook my head. I thought, he wonders if I'm worth it. We have social medicine. And he wonders if I'm worth it. And I said, Dr. Watson, he was from Australia. So this is just what I was telling you. I said, Dr. Watson, I want to just ask you something. I feel strong, I feel healthy, and I'm laying here. If you were laying here and I was standing there, what would you say? And he had pictures of my heart. He was looking at the pictures. He said, well, I'm quite busy. So what's that mean? I'm quite busy. And he's booked up for a couple months. And He said, well, and then he handed some papers over to me and said, if you want to sign here. So I signed. And I was in his stream then. And I thought, well, you know, he'll never. And then he said, you have a lot of blockages. I said, blockages? I can't have any blockages. I'm as healthy as a pig. I said, blockages? He said, yeah. He said, they start at 40% and go up to 90. How many? 14, he said. 14 blockages. And I had been feeling a little tired once in a while. And I thought, well, it's because I'm 80. I've got to feel a little tired if you start feeling tired. And maybe, I don't know why I'm telling this, but I hadn't planned to say it. So anyway, I said, well, I said, if you were laying here and I was standing there, what would you say? Well, he said, if I wanted to live past Christmas, I'd probably go through with it. Live past Christmas? That was only 3-4 months away. And that was like a death sentence. You know what, friends? That's when God can step in.
Amen.
And I didn't think about how to pay the bill. I didn't think about anything else at that moment. I thought about, who can I call? Who can pray? And I called a pastor. And he prayed a very short prayer. And this is what he prayed. He said something like, Father, anoint the person. I thought, well, I know who the person is because it's Dr. Watson. He said, anoint the person to rise to the challenge. And I thought, I'm like the woman at the well. I'm going to hang on to these words. And I held on to those words, and I got up behind the pulpit, and I spoke it to our people. And I said, rise to the challenge. You know what he did? 9 days later, I had a little heart attack. And they wouldn't drive me to that hospital. We've got to drive you to the closest hospital. So they drove me to the closest hospital that didn't even have a heart specialist. And so I went there. And then the next day, they took me in to Dr. Watson. And you know what he says? He comes up right beside my bed. He said, I can't do your operation. He said, I'm going away for 7 days today. I said, well, you know, kind of what's going to happen? He said, we got good teams. I said, would you recommend them? And he kind of smiled. That was the only time he kind of smiled. And so the next morning in came Dr. Chung, a young Chinese man. He says, hi. He says, I'm Dr. Chung. I'm going to be doing your operation today. And this right behind him came a Dr. Kang. He's from Singapore, and he's going to be observing it and so on. He says, we're going to do your operation tomorrow about noon. By this time, I thought, I'm just a piece of meat. And they're just going to wheel me around. So whatever you want to do, just do it. But I thought, I got to call one person. And I'll call this man, this pastor, here in the States. And he prayed a short prayer on the cell phone. Anoint the person to rise to the challenge. And this man, a nice card was down. He's a professor at UBC, University of British Columbia. And incidentally, it's not a small place. It's got about 60,000 students. 60,000 students plus the teaching staff. It covers about 200 acres of land. And so I just you're going to wheel me in, and they're wheeling me from one place to another. And I thought, I got a jolt. You men, we all find common ground here. It's either God or without God. And if you ever have to call on Him, you want to be on good speaking terms. Live a life that's worthy of this gospel. And they're wheeling me in. And you talk about rising to the challenge. This man, Asian man, Dr. Chung, they had all the equipment to bypass for a bypass heart operation. And he said, you know, this is an older man, and he'll heal a lot quicker. Because I had told him, I said, Dr. Chung, I prayed for you this morning. Dr. Kang, I prayed for you also. Michael, you were there. I said, I prayed for you, man. Man, they didn't make a big deal out of it, but they did. They thanked me for it. Let me tell you, friends, we don't have to be ashamed of this gospel. And now I'll give you the punchline. This doctor, talk about rising to the challenge. A man here in West Virginia prayed a short prayer. Anoint the person and let them rise to the challenge. And he stood there before people that they didn't know what they were going to be doing. And he rose to the challenge. And he said, we won't turn the equipment on. I'll do this operation off pump. And while he held my hand, held my heart while it was beating and operated for 3.5 hours. And I have been absolutely flawless in the healing, just flawless. And I stand here before you today to give witness. And I'm glad I told the doctor I prayed for him. And my wife says, send him a scripture. The word of God is quick and powerful. And all doctors like their scalpel, but here's the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And is a divider of the joints and marrow, and will even divide between not the body and the spirit, but the soul and the spirit. And a big problem today, you'll find this out if you haven't already determined it. There's too much that is just emotional in the emotional realm. Oh, I'm going to believe. You've got to be given faith to believe. I'm going to just have faith. No, you just do what you always do and stay steadfast and believe what God has said. Are you prepared to do that? That is the way of success. And I can tell you that that is absolutely correct and true. And it happens. And if you ever get rolled in there, I had a jolt. I thought, I might not come out. I might not come out. I might be in His presence in the next few minutes. And friends, I have to tell you this. What a wonderful peace. It wasn't from medication. It was just a life. And I just said, well, I have no regrets. And the book has been written. And that is what I said. The book's been written. We can't change anything. I might be in His presence in 5 minutes. I may not see my wife again. I might not see my family again. And you'll remember, Michael, I also asked that they had to intube me. For the first time, I'm going to say publicly, my son-in-law had lost his mother 2 weeks before this date. And she was intubed in the throat. And the family was told, if we move the tube, retube, if we move the tube out, she only has maybe an hour or two to live. But you must make that decision. And he had to make that decision to remove the tube. And so I said to my wife, no one shall see me until I have the tube out. And once the tube is out, friends, my dear brothers, that's when you have to know where you're standing. It's not being, you know, some yay excitement over here. It's down to the grassroots of things. I've served God. I've dedicated my life to Him. I believe I believe the message that He sent. And nothing can change that. You know, over here in Portland is a great minister, one that Brother Branham spoke of highly, Tommy Osborne by name. And Tommy Osborne at Brother Branham's memorial service said, and he was rebuking those that were claiming to be believers. He said, I saw it once. And he was gone. He was history. And Brother Branham would even say to the people, don't do that. Don't pull on me. I'm here now for the message. But they wanted him to see things and see visions and tell them their diseases and tell them all of these things. Where were they? Where are they now? I say, friends, we have had a message. And we have somebody that doesn't really follow it, perhaps. I don't know where Tommy Osborne is. It's none of my business. It's between him and God. But I can tell you one thing. A man that says, I saw it once. And I'm so glad I saw it once. I saw a blind girl healed when I was only 14. And nothing can change that. And I only said to the Lord, if your angel of the Lord is still there, that's really what I want to know. If it's still there and I'm sitting at the platform and God allows different ones of a congregation that I had resigned from and they came up on the platform and here's a prophet telling them every detail of their lives and who they're praying for and all of these things, what am I supposed to do with that? I just said, I believe it. And I carried it to Brother Bud Southwick and his family, and they became fervent believers all of their days. I say, amen. Can I just take a couple more moments, and then I'm going to close. Amen. Brother John Lay is not here, but he's... Brother John Lay, are you here? No, he's at our church. Brother John Lay, and I want to say this, Brother Coffee, you know what's happening in China. Brother John Lay had a pack sack. And he just went in his jeans And he crossed the border into China and packing some message books in his bag, in his pack sack. And he would stop at a church. It's only a government church called a three-self church. And he would go in, and then when he came out, he would stand and offer the books. Just stand there. It's so simple, friends. Nobody like that could do any damage. And he just offered a book. And you know what the people thought? They thought it was part of the program. So everybody took one. It was part of the program, all right. You know what's happened since? Well, some of their main people from Beijing, the capital, have left that church. Powerless church. A disgraceful church. And has to accommodate all of the communism, which the government stands for communism. And they won't allow anything that isn't that way. Now, I'm going to tell all of you people from Charlotte something that very few people know. Just one moment. And Brother John Lay hands this book out and hands a book out, and they people took it and chucked it in their bag and went home, and then they started coming as believers. Said, we want more. We want more. We're done with this church. We're done with this powerless church. And they came, and I have a picture of that shopping bag. Not even a shopping bag, just a pack sack. On a back, I've been in the same hotel room with him, and he just crashes anywhere he can. You know what crash means? You got a bed? Well, he'll sleep in it if you don't get there first. And he calls me. He says, Brother Biscoe, we have to have somebody come and minister to these people. A lot of people are coming and are getting to believe. He didn't feel like a minister simply because he handed out the book. That wasn't his office. And he said, please arrange to send somebody over here that can teach these people. So people were sent and people were arrested, etc., etc. And then they came out, and Brother Murphy Wong is ministering to them. And he's right there. He learns very good English. And you know, the gospel doesn't come cheap. And I would see, out in the parking lot, I would see Murphy's car when I left the office. And when I went back in the morning, the car is still there. And I go in and I say, Brother Murphy, did you go home last night? No, he said, I the word was so strong and it was so powerful in the preaching. He said, I called my wife and told her I wasn't coming. Or sometimes he had too much translation work to do. In a few years, he translated. And how many are up on the hub, Brother Tim? About 650. About 650 messages translated into the Chinese language. One man. And then he started, he said, our Bible is not accurate. The Chinese Bible that the government will accept is not accurate. And I said, well, make a piece of paper and show what verses are out. I said, I can tell you that John's Gospel 2 and 7 is not there, because it says that these three are one, and they won't stand for that. No, and it's not there. But all kinds of sentences in Matthew, and for in the Psalms, every time it's referred to grace, and they just use the word grace for love and all of those things that should have a real meaning for the believer, and they change it and just use one word. And now he begins to do it accurately. And it comes under the eyes of the people. And they said, well, we don't want a Bible that's not accurate. China today has the most accurate Bible they've ever had in 6,000 or 7,000 years. And I don't know whether this is correct or not. And forgive me if it's not correct. But the prophet of God, as far as I know, never went to China. 1,400,000 people reading a Bible of God's Word that is not true and not accurate. And so here a little brother sits down in his office and he begins to translate it from Genesis 1:1 all the way to the Amen at chapter 22, I believe it is, of Revelation. And now it came under the eyes of the government, and they're put into a terrible position because they've got people that are insisting on buying it, and you're not allowed to buy it in the government in China. And I might as well just tell you, there's people, because the believers will not be dishonest, but unbelievers want that Bible so bad, they're prepared to risk it. And the man who is the head for represented China, now you're the first group that's hearing this. He was here in Charlotte, North Carolina, at Billy Graham's funeral, representing the government of China. That man called Brother Michael's father and Murphy, and that man's secretary, the four of them met, and he wants that Bible. And he said, we'd like to have it printed, and we will need 30,000 just for our ministers. He was at right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. They met him in Beijing. And listen to this. One of their premier ladies came into the message and has immigrated to Canada. And she has a home in West Vancouver. And the pastor of the large church in Beijing said to a family in his church, go and get her out of that cult. Well, they arrived and they started having meetings with him and his wife. And guess what? They became believers. And she sits in our church, not far from you, Brother Gary. And she sits in the church. And they sent one couple to get her out, and she pulled them in. Or God, the Holy Spirit, pulled them in. And then they sent another couple. And they sat down with this couple and said, this is a very strong cult. You have to be careful. That couple came over, and they came down to Denver and visited their son. But they would not say that it's false. And they wouldn't say that it's a false prophet. We've listened to some messages, and everything he said is true to the Word of God. So now they're in a terrible dilemma. They can't pull her out, and they're between coming in and not knowing what to do, and we have confidence, and with this I'm going to close. We have confidence in some scripture.
Yes.
And this is the scripture. All that the Father hath given me will come, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. Now that should rest your soul. God bless you. All right, Brother
Barry. Thank you, Brother Ed. Thank you so much.
God bless you. I just felt loose.
Wonderful. Feet. I think we should rejoice.
Amen.
I think we should give thanks for what God's done. God does things in ways that are way above our ways. He knows exactly what He's doing, and He knows exactly who to choose, and He knows exactly how to bring His will to pass. This message is true. This message is the truest thing there is in the earth. And I will tell you what. When it finds good ground, when the seed of God's word finds good ground, and it's watered and it's fertilized, I will tell you, it'll bring to pass God's will. It'll express Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just like to say, I appreciate the... just the simplicity with which Brother Ed shared things with us tonight, and the incidents in his life, and sometimes just small things, but how God can turn them into great things, and just a part of His plan. And we look at them as just maybe isolated or random events and so forth, and yet God's got His hand on a person's life and ordains them to come across this person and then this person and so on, and all of a sudden you have this unstoppable thing that's moving in the earth. That's not our doing, that's His doing, and it's His word, and I believe He watches over it. Amen. And amen. I'd like to sing a little. I think we should just worship a little bit. And I think we should just sing together this evening here. And let's sing it in the key of F there, Matt, if you will. I will praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord. We have nowhere else to go tonight. Let's just take a little time and worship Him and just thank God. It isn't just Brother Biscoe's story. It's the story of the bride. The story of the bride, and not only in this age, but the story of the bride all the way from the early church right until now. And God's been watching over that seed line all the way through, and watching that trail of blood all the way down through the ages here to bring us here. Gifts and callings are free, but character comes at a great price. Gifts and callings are free. They come without repentance, don't they? But character comes at a great cost. And God's watching over His seed all the way down through to bring out the maturity and the qualities of Christ in lives that were lost in sin. And God brings us in and begins a work in our lives. Character comes at a great price. But character is the thing you're going to take with you when you leave here. And a legacy is the thing you leave behind. I will pray. I will praise my Lord, no matter what tomorrow brings or what He has in store. I know that I will praise the Lord. Yes, I will praise. Thank you, Jesus.
will praise. Oh, one more time. Sounds so good. Let's worship Him tonight. Yes, I will. Thank you, Jesus. I will praise the Lord. No matter what tomorrow brings, what He has in store, I know that I will praise the Lord. And it's not in trying, but in trusting. Not in running, but in resting. Sets me free.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus I really want to see. This moment in time when we will gather on the other side. And I believe that step to get there will be just another step in the Christian walk. That's the way Brother Branham described it. And I often think about how we get over on the other side and gather with all the saints of our age. And we recognize here's Brother Branham over there. And you're a great throng of people, Gentiles of all the ages back through. And the martyrs and the people who paid the price to believe, and church age messengers there, and you know, the great saints and the sages and the prophets all down through the ages, and the sisters and the families that live for God, the Israelites that Joshua and Caleb and their families, and we're all gathered over on the other side. You think this is good? This is nothing compared to what we would have over there. And this, in our view, is great, but it's nothing compared to what it would be like over there when all the ages get together. And you get over there on the other side, and you know, all of a sudden it dawns on you. You don't have to close your eyes now to see Him. But you know what? You open your eyes, and He's there. You'll see Him. He'll be standing there. He's not a thought anymore. He's not, just a prayer. But He's there. He comes out. What a moment in time that will be. Often think about that. I don't know if it'll be like that. I really don't know. And I don't care how it actually happens. I just want to be there when it happens. I just want to be there. I want to be in that number. I'll take my place in the back or on the sides or in the balcony. It doesn't matter. I just want to be there. That's for sure. But I will tell you, as great as that is, I will tell you this. I think it's a greater thing to see Jesus in me today. And to see Jesus in each other today. That'll be a great thing. And God has that in store for us. But what a great thing to live in the middle of Satan's Eden. And to see Jesus. To see Christ in us. And to realize, hey, I make mistakes. I have failures. I have weaknesses. That's all true. And no one's going to argue with that. But you know what? Just like God didn't cast David aside when David made the mistakes that he did. Because God knew what David was capable of. God knew what was in David. And He had put eternal life in David. And He put a part of Himself in David. And He knew that no matter what happened to David, no matter what he did, God was able to deal with his heart. And he'd come right back to the tree of life. And he'd come right back in repentance. And he'd come right back with a true heart and come back to God. And God's put that in believers today. I believe God's put that in believers today. Hey, yes, we make mistakes. But God knows in you there's a heart that'll return to the tree of life and come back and keep coming back and keep coming back. You know, God made David a man after his own heart. And I'll tell you, when David sinned, he sinned with passion. And when David sang, he sang with passion. And whatever he did with passion. I believe somehow God loves passion. He doesn't like lukewarmness. He loves passion. He loves that attitude in a person's heart. I'm going to make it. I'm going to go all the way. And there's no stopping me. There's absolutely no power that's greater than the power that lives in me. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. And I think if we do nothing else but to take away this thought that God's reminded us over these few days here, that you're an eternal creature and God's connected you with an eternal message of truth. And He did it right in the smack in the middle of Satan's Eden when the world doesn't understand it. They don't care about it. But I tell you what, there's not enough forces out there to stop you from letting Jesus Christ manifest Himself in your life. I think seeing Jesus there will be great, but I think seeing Jesus right here is also great. It's Jesus we want to see. It's not Brother Dale we want to see, and Brother David we want to see, and Brother Andy we want to see. Hey, listen, that's great, but I want to see Christ on display, and I want you to see Him in me. And the way we do that, as Brother Ed said tonight, we take the gifts, the little pieces of God Himself that He placed in us, and we just give it back to Him and say, Lord, it's yours now. Just use it whatever way you want to. I might just be a help in a church. I might just sing a special or be a deacon or, a help. Whatever it is, just give it to God and watch what God will do with it. Like Brother Jason said so ably today, just stand there. Just stand in my presence and just allow me to use that gift and watch what God will do with that gift. It's Jesus I really want to see. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, I really want to see. Oh, the more I see. There is none like Thee. Tim Dodd, I'm going to ask him if you would come and close in prayer. Let's sing that one more time tonight. Every service has been unique. Every service has been special. It's been good for us to be in the house of the Lord. It's been good for us to gather together. We still have tomorrow morning. We just want to just let the Lord have the last say tomorrow morning. Service will be a little different. We'll have all of our assembly here. I have no idea where we're going to put them, but they'll be here to join us. I know some of you have to leave tonight and going back to your places, and some of the ministers are going back to minister to their churches, and Brother Anwar is driving all the way to New York tomorrow to be in service tomorrow night. And for all of you that have to leave tonight, may the Lord richly bless you and guide you safely on the highway. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord with you. I spent these few days with you. It's been special and unique. And we will certainly let you know in time next year, Lord willing, if we're still here, when we'll gather over in Carson Springs. To me, if I had my choice, I'd forfeit Carson Springs and gather at the marriage supper of the Lamb. But until then, we'll go on singing. Brother Tim, come. Let's sing one more time. There's none like you. Brother Ed, we'd like to say thank you for having you come tonight. God bless you. God bless you. We're thankful that he made the effort to come. And with his faithful crew and Brother Randy, we appreciate it. And with Michael and each one, and it's just been an honor. I just, if you don't mind, I'd just like to say this. We were talking in the office before coming out, and I said that, you know, Brother Ed, you're one of the last persons on the earth, one of the last, that had that kind of acquaintance with Brother Branham and still lives to tell the stories and the impact that it had on you and then to be able to influence others. And he was almost apologetic in saying, you know, a lot of those things that Brother Branham said were so simple. And just kind of alarmingly simple that he would say in conversation. But I said, you know, Brother Ed, they affected you. And they did. He remembers them even still today. And they affected him in thinking about the scripture and thinking about life and ministry and everything else. And I said, that's a scriptural way to look at this. Because when faithful men are taught, they will also teach faithful men who will in turn teach faithful men. And it carries on down through the generations. We couldn't remember the year. It was either 1981 or 1982. And I was in Vancouver, in Cloverdale. And I preached my first public sermon in the Log Cabin Church there on a Wednesday night. And I was going back to Newfoundland. I lived in Canada then. And I was going back to Newfoundland. And Brother Ed offered to take me to the airport. So it was just he and I. And I'm 21, 22 years old, and I'm thinking, this is great. You know, I've got an hour and a half or so with Brother Biskell, and I'm going to go to the airport together, just he and I, and we have a chance to, you know, fellowship. And wow, this is wonderful. So I asked him the question that most people would ask and still ask. I said, you know, if you were a young man like me, starting out in ministry and starting out in life and not married yet, you know, what would be your priority? What would you be doing? And naturally, I expected he would say, well, you know, dig into the messages and get on the mission field and go and do things for the kingdom and, you know, all of those things. And that's just what I was expecting to hear him say. And Brother Ed, he just listened for my question, and then he just kind of turned to me as we were driving, and he said, You know the first thing that I would do if I were you? He said, I'd get out of debt. Let's go over the question again. And sometimes, you know, the answers you get are not always what you expect. That's for sure. But, you know, I told him, I said, as simple as the answer was to the question, I said, when I began to think about that over the years, I began to think about stewardship and how every one of us are called to stewardship, not only with finances, but with our time and our gifts and our children and, you know, everything we do, we are called to be good stewards. And I thought, it just affected me to the point where even raising our family and dealing with our family finances and so forth. And, you know, when a person is not so heavily in debt, they're free to move when God would lead them and be able to take a minister, move them from here to here. And I will tell you that was 1981, 1982, somewhere in there. That still impacts my life. And I'm still teaching that to our assembly and other assemblies. And somebody even here this week asked me about a thing I taught on financial stewardship years ago. And it's an intergenerational way that God has, that faithful men will teach faithful men who will in turn teach faithful men and teach faithful men. But sometimes we look for great complex and mystical, mysterious answers to things that are way out there. And sometimes the answers are very close. They're just right here. And there are things you can do. There are things that are within your reach to do. And we should do them because the time is nigh. And, you know, it's just sometimes amazing. We don't need to apologize because things are simple and understandable. Because if they're simple and understandable, they're going to be applicable. And that's a great thing. That's a great thing. Brother Tim, would you come and offer a word of prayer tonight as we close?
Amen. Shall we bow our heads together? Great and mighty eternal God, creator of all things, author of life, and we call you our Father. Our Father in heaven. Times like this remind us, O God, of how fleeting life is. There was a time when Brother Biscoe was just a young man. Brother Branham acknowledged him as a young man. And now, Lord, he's an aged man that has been confronted with his own mortality. We thank you for what he shared with us tonight. And we feel, though, Lord, that you were pleased with what was said tonight. And that you were in what was said tonight. Father, we feel your presence near. And Lord, because your presence is near, I guess I can say what Brother Biscoe said to say. How Brother Branham loved you. And Lord, from what we've seen tonight, how Brother Ed loves you. And Lord, we'd all want to say, I love you. Thank you for your grace in our lives. Thank you for your blessings. You're better to us than we would be to ourselves if we were in your shoes, Lord. But you have more grace, more love, more mercy than we could ever measure. You bring us together on occasions like this. And sometimes it's just good to think about all that you've done for us. Thank you for this time we've had together tonight. And we realize there's one more service, Lord. But We just feel so blessed so far. Lord, as we, I would pray for these brothers, Lord, if, as they go their way tonight. The things that were said tonight may be in simplicity, but Lord, may you quicken to each and every one the significance of the things that were said. Lord, it goes beyond the measure of the words or the scope of the vocabulary. It goes into realms of depths of thought and experience, Lord, that you've allowed Brother Biscoe, whom I have been privileged to call my pastor, Lord, whom I was privileged to hear this message from. Lord, I pray that you'll just anoint it afresh to each and every hearer, Lord. And as they go home, may you apply it to each and every life. May you give us the insight that we need to have, the quickening of the Holy Spirit. Lord, the supernatural thought of the influence that has been infused into our lives. We give this service to you, Lord. We give one another to you. We love each other, Lord. We thank you for our brothers sitting next to us, in front of us, behind us, whoever it might be. We just thank you for each and every one tonight. May you bless us as we go along our ways. Thank you for Brother Barry. Thank you for the church here, Lord. We commit it all to you now, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Tonight they have a snack prepared for you in the fellowship hall, so at your leisure you want to just wander over and we'll just fellowship a little bit tonight. Church is at 10:30 in the morning. Yeah. I worship you, mighty God, for there is none.
by.